This is the Hagman Report for today. It is Wednesday, January 14, 2026. I'm Doug Hagman. With me is Sam Andrews. I got to tell you, we have a lot to talk about. There's a lot of stuff going on nationally, internationally. The issue, however, and folks, bear with us because it's interesting because we have Sam's been tied up for the last couple of days during the day, you know, with things because we both do things, okay? And I've been tied up for pretty much the entire day as well. Different reasons, different parts of the country, but same result. But we're looking at the array of headlines. I just want to mention this to kind of coming out of the gate. You know, the legacy media and the false narratives that are out there. Folks, did you know? And if you're watching this show or listening to this, I'm sure you know, whether it's live or maybe tomorrow or whenever you might be listening to it. Maybe you know by now that the ICE officer who fatally shot that Minneapolis suffered he suffered internal bleeding from that strike, okay, from the car hitting him. So I don't want to hear any of this bullshit, and that's exactly what it is. It's a bunch of bullshit from any of these purple-haired, tatted-up, septum-pierced morons out there, or the Hakeem Jeffries or the Keith Ellisons or the Tim Walls, you know, jazz hands guy. No, I don't want to hear any of that crap. And also, too, some other news. Nick Shirley dropped another video. Look, you could, folks, the amount of fraud, I just want to open with it or kind of continue just briefly with this. The amount of fraud that exists is almost incomprehensible. And I sent an email to someone who listened to last night's show just here a few minutes ago saying the same thing. And I, one of my, a big part of my investigative practice involved fraud investigation. High dollar fraud, a lot of private clients being insurance carriers who are exposed for, you know, over $1 million to $5 million plus per case. And that's where I spend a lot of my time, not all of it, but a lot of it in the fraud area. And what we're seeing right now, this is nothing new. This has been going on for a long time, and it's been going on. But here's the problem. It's been going on with the knowledge and with the help, assistance, and even some of the kickbacks from government agencies, the very agencies that apply the oversight or provide the licensing and the infrastructure. They're part of this. So this is a really dangerous area. I'll just say this. When you start investigating this, I know during my time, you know, $1 million here, $5 million there, suddenly people get a little bit concerned, all right, about the investigation. And all of a sudden, you know, what happens is somebody might drop a death threat or two or three, you know, on the investigators that are looking at this. And one person I was really hours before or a day before an arrest committed suicide. All right. What we're looking at here is on a scale by orders of magnitude, tremendously more than that. You start yanking on this yarn and you follow this money. I don't think anybody in DC or any of the left, especially the left, but some of the right within the states, are going to be left untouched from this. That's how big this is. All right. I wanted to mention that. And then, of course, there's international news, a lot of international news, but including the Senate Republicans striking down the Venezuela Border Powers Resolution with Vance casting the tie-breaking vote. In other words, you know, hey, the president is going to do what the president's going to do, that pursuant to the verification or the tie-breaking vote of Vice President Vance. So does or the result of that is they're good to go for Venezuela. And of course, the last thing I want to mention is when you look at all of these videos of the protests, the riots, they're not protests, they're riots, they're organized, non-organic, they're scheduled. All of these riots are taking place, anti-ICE riots. You have to understand that all of this, you cannot disconnect the response from the crime. The very people who are behind the criminal activity are also connected to the people that are funding the response to the criminal activity. This, from my experience, okay, from my on the ground experience for 38 years, and wow, it's a long time, okay, blows my mind to think about it, but that's really the bottom line. And if you think that this is going to be resolved only through the Department of Justice, okay, I'll tell you what, that's not happening. It's just not happening. So there's that. There's a lot more coming, but with me, Sam Andrews, freedomtrain.net. That's his website. That link will be at the program description, in the program description box at HagmanPI.com and in Rumble and on the audio platforms as well. Folks, Sam is a legend. He is, well, I'll tell you what, if you know who Sam Andrews is, you know who Sam Andrews is. Great guy. Sam, thanks for joining me tonight. Let's have a great discussion tonight, and let's talk about whatever. We'll open up with whatever you want to talk about first.
Well, there's a lot of exciting things going on. There's a lot of opportunities. Yep. I think last time I was on with you, we talked a little bit about what silver is doing from an investment standpoint. I think it was at 76 the last time we talked. It might have been a week or two ago. Now it's I think it was scaring 92 or 93 when I took a peek at it today.
Yep. And I saw it at 90, 91, I think, when I looked at it. Yeah.
Yeah. And you know, this world right now, for a lot of people, the opportunities are real. They're really there to make some financial gain. Yep. And I believe that it's a lot like picking up gold coins in a minefield. The risks are higher, but the opportunities are greater.
Boy, I like that analogy. Like picking up gold coins in a minefield. That, I like that. You're right.
You remember when you were young, the fountains that were out in public and people would throw a penny or a nickel or a quarter and they'd make a wish.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and when I was a young boy, down at Cardinal Stadium at Busch Stadium in St. Louis, my dad would take me down there for the Cardinal baseball games. And, you know, there's some fountains down there. And every once in a while, you'd see some drunk guy trying to fish some change out of the fountain so he could either get something to eat or something else to drink.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And, you know, if you've ever been so broke that you decided to hit up a fountain, you wouldn't be picking up pennies and nickels today. You'd be picking up silver and gold.
It blows my mind because here's what I've noticed. And Sam, maybe there is a word for this or a descriptor for this, but it's interesting when people wouldn't buy gold or silver, we'll say at 40 an ounce or 20 an ounce. Oh, no, it's going to come down to 12 or 14. And then when it went up to, you know, they wouldn't buy it at 40 and they wouldn't buy it at 50. Now it's almost double that and people are flocking to buy it. And what the heck? I mean, it's still a good buy, given the 50-1 right now ratio to gold. It's still a good buy. So, but what the heck? I mean, can you explain that? What's that about?
I call it the lemming effect. You know, people don't want to jump on board unless they see momentum and they're looking for a quick hit. And investing is not that. Successful investing is looking at the external environment, the internal environment, and making wise decisions and being willing to ride out the turbulence for the long haul. That's what wise investing looks like. And, you know, when I first mentioned the ratio of silver to gold and how you use that 60-to-1 ratio as a dividing line on whether it's a better deal to buy gold or a better deal to buy silver, silver was at $24.50 an ounce the first time I mentioned that on your show.
Right.
I told everybody, buy silver, don't buy gold. If you had done that, you're about to triple your money, quadruple your money, if you had taken my suggestion and done that in less than a year. That's pretty spectacular growth.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's outperforming. And the word investment is key here. It's not a get-rich-quick thing. Now, you can get rich quickly, okay, but it's not meant to be that. And it's a store of wealth as opposed to a store of wealth slash investment. And the other thing, too, and I think you mentioned this last time that you were on, you know, it's not the price of silver that's going up. It's the value of the dollar that's going down. I think people have to understand what the crap storm we're headed into.
And the turbulence politically, Ukraine, Taiwan, yep. Venezuela, Iran, you know, you start to look at the turbulence among the great powers, the big governments on Earth, makes people very insecure. Makes them insecure about paper money, and they turn to gold and silver for security in their own minds. Yep. And I think there's a lot of opportunities. I think in the growth sectors, you're going to see major growth in AI. Everybody knows that. Well, why aren't you investing in AI companies? And to support AI, you're going to need energy, lots of it.
Yep.
And so why aren't you investing in energy companies if you know this ahead of time? I mean, this is a strategic, simple call. If you're going to throw money in, and you never want to hold cash in an inflationary period. You want to hold assets in an inflationary period, and you want to hold cash in a deflationary period. And right now, we're still in an inflationary period, despite what Trump claims. It's not, the rate of inflation is not as high as it was under Biden, but it's absolutely still inflating a little bit. I would encourage, with what I see happening in the market, and I'll tell you what's going to happen. I think you're going to see a pullback in the market, a slight pullback over the next week or two as we sort through Iran and Ukraine. I think you're going to see a pullback.
Which market?
Well, all the NASDAQ, the 500, the Dow, you're going to see all of these tech sectors, everything. You're going to see a slight pullback. And I'm telling you, once Iran gets resolved and Venezuela gets on board, our economy is going to roar. If you're not in the market by then, you've really missed an opportunity.
And when you say if you're not in the market by then, if you don't mind, explain to the people out there and even to me, what do you mean if you're not in the market?
Well, the ideal time to get in the market, and you know, the wisest investment advisors that I know, they have a cliche. And they say, don't try to time the market, but make sure you spend time in the market. In other words, look at long-term growth. Don't try and time the market and make these short-term gains. And that's really wise advice for most people.
Right.
There are some day traders out there that make a lot of money, but they have their own niches. They have their own area of expertise. And they generally stay in their box and make good money, really good money. But like if you were trying to time the market, the time would have been when Tesla was down to 211.
Yeah.
You know, that would have been the time to get in because we've already seen 30% growth, like 20 to 30% growth in some sectors. But that growth is going to continue. And I think that the rate of growth is going to accelerate this summer. In the United States, I am very bullish on America right now. I'm not one of these people that says the market's going to collapse and all this, that, and the other. You know, I don't like Chicken Littles. And when people are scared, that's the time to put money in. When people are being bold and they're acting all brave in the market, that's the time to be careful and be conservative.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of, you know, the sky's falling, and I'm not a fan of that. I mean, I understand that there are certain situations that are critically important and could ignite at any time. But then again, you can't live your life on that, on the precipice of, you know, of anxiety every day. Okay, so, but I get that.
Jerome Powell can.
Well,
the last thing I would want on earth was to be living in the jurisdiction of Jeanine Pirro and have her crawling up my bahuki with a microscope. That woman is like a bulldog.
Okay, but now let's talk about Jeanine Pirro, because I have a look. I like her a lot, but what the heck's up with her? Oh my goodness, the prosecutor that she's responsible for. What the hell case is it now? In fact, the prosecutor that attempted to essentially frame President Trump is still at DOJ under the direction of Pirro. What the hell is going on? And it'll come to me in a minute. I'm just, my mind's like blown with all sorts of information. But why aren't these people looking for friggin' jobs?
Well, Pam Bondi, the same woman that's arguing that the NFA is a valid law, same woman that works for the most pro Second Amendment president in history, and yet argues against the Second Amendment in so many cases. I mean, if Trump would just get rid of Bondi and, you know, appoint a real attorney general that really was pro Bill of Rights, pro Second Amendment, pro God given rights.
Didn't you say Sidney Powell would be good? I mean, was that you?
I love Sidney Powell. I think Powell is an extraordinary bright woman, and I think she's very honest. She has a lot of integrity, and she has exposed. She has made a name for herself exposing people that lack integrity, and I like these people.
Yeah, I'm sorry, but her dissection of the Enron issue in License to Lie, I believe is the name of the book. Absolutely fantastic, folks. It's just an incredible. It's not what you think, okay? I mean, Enron was not what you think. So anyway, continue with that. And yes, I like her.
Yeah, so Sidney Powell, the character trait that I love about this woman is that she has legitimate courage. See, a lot of lawyers don't want to take on a certain level of power and interest, because they're afraid their careers will be crushed politically.
Oh yeah.
And they know that even if you have a legal case, there can be a political solution that will destroy your life if you bring the truth to light. And see, a lot of people do the right thing when it benefits them and when other people are watching. The people that I respect the most, me personally, are the people that do the right thing when it's really, really hard and it could be really, really costly. Those are the people with real courage. And I believe Sidney Powell falls into that category. I think Jeanine Pirro does too, to be honest.
Okay. And I'm with you there.
These are the people with real integrity. The ones that do the right thing, even when it's hard, even when it's costly to them personally. And Pam Bach, not that person.
No, and I have to say, I've talked to enough people from January 6th, and I've been in the same position, looking for an attorney to defend certain things, or looking for an attorney. I'll just leave it at that. And the attorneys, you can prevail perhaps, but I'm not the one to do it, the attorney would tell me, because, well, why not? Well, because it has career ending, it's a career ending move,
implications.
Yeah. So really, I mean, that's so much for law and friggin' justice. I mean, out the window, but go ahead. Yeah.
Well, speaking of attorneys, we made gigantic strides. There was an expert witness that testified in a deposition today, basically 3.5 hours of questioning from the opposing attorney on the Freedom Center lawsuit. And this guy, he brought receipts.
Beautiful.
He was brilliant. And he was articulate and he was honest. And he was friends with the widow that I'm in the lawsuit with, the billionaire widow.
Wow.
And he was friends with her since grade school. And I really wondered, is this guy going to take, is he going to get sworn in and tell the truth? Or is he going to try to hedge his bets and play to the big money? What's he going to do? And I'm telling you, that guy was as honest as the day is long. And he absolutely destroyed her and the other attorney's case. It was incredible to witness. You know, what did Sun Tzu see? There are three things that are not long hidden: the sun, the moon, and the truth.
There you go. Yeah.
Well, that was today in the Lake of the Ozarks, Missouri.
Was that on cross or direct where he
direct
did the damage? Direct.
Yeah, just okay. Absolutely, absolutely destroyed her lives. And it was something that put me in a really good mood.
That's, you know? That's good. Yeah, and for people who don't know what you're referencing, I don't know how far you want to get into it, but the bottom line is there. On your behalf, and again, you know, anytime you're successful at something, for example, Freedom Center USA, anytime something is good for the people, people want to destroy that, and that's kind of in a nutshell where Sam Andrews finds himself,
or take it from you, in this
take it from you. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, we've got about 1.5 million into this range, and she wanted to take the land and give us $0. In fact, they have two experts that they're testifying that the Freedom Center is worth nothing. It's 1 million.
I love expert witnesses. Yeah.
The roads built, culverts laid, millions of yards of dirt moved. A $200,000 building built, okay, a mile of road laid in with 24 acres of trees cleared.
Uh-huh.
But yet the improvements made to the property, the construction of the range and the building, zero value, $0.
Ah, come on, man. I mean, he's an expert, or it's an expert. Yeah.
Yeah, they brought a handwriting expert in to look at the contract I signed with Rick to claim that it's not our signatures, that it was all fake.
Really?
I believe that.
I believe it, yeah.
And guess where the expert came from? The expert came from St. Louis City PD.
No.
Yeah.
Wait a second. Are you telling me a duck?
I was in a federal lawsuit with. I was an expert witness testifying against the SWAT team for murdering this guy. They shot 27 times with an AR-15. Look it up. Isaiah Hammett's his name.
Isaiah what?
Isaiah Hammett.
Isaiah Hammett.
Yeah.
Okay. And this is important. And folks, to me, you're hearing some real life inside baseball, but real life experiences with courtroom justice
problem.
Yeah, I mean, seriously, so let me get this straight. You had, obviously, this guy would be a forensic document examiner or at least a forensic handwriting analyst, right?
Gal and her husband. Yeah.
Okay. All right, so they brought him in to claim your authentic signature was a forgery.
Or no, Rick Brown's was the guy okay. The other guy that signed the contract.
Got it.
Yeah, I don't know if they'll claim mine is or not, but they're being paid to claim to try and prove that his signature is not his signature.
Well, hey, you know what? Money talks, BS walks. So, yeah, you know, again, so much, folks, if you experts, you got to understand, you can get the best expert in the world. It depends on how much you want to pay, and they can say whatever the money suggests they should say. That's a sad thing. Really, it is.
Well, it's what an abusive attorney does when they have a client that's worth $1 billion. That's what they do. They just hire experts to say what they want them to say. And it's sad, but that's the way it works in this country. You know,
it just kind of brings to mind. My first Substack article, or my first article I wrote on my Substack, and the sole article right now was about me walking into a courthouse 38 years ago last month, almost to the day, and testifying for the first time. And then 38 years of testimony, courtrooms, three states, different levels later, walking out of the same courthouse. I'm a different man after what I've seen in the, you know, and on that day I spent a little over 2 hours under cross, and I became a little cross at the attorney because the attorney would just mischaracterize a lot of things. And I finally spoke up and I said, you know what? I object to the way you're framing the question. It's an improper characterization. And so we were sparring back and forth, and then of course I got yelled at for being snarky, and you know, just gonna. Can you imagine me snarky? Come on, no. I'm never snarky. Okay, no. But anyway, yeah. So that interesting insight there. Wow.
Yeah, you find snarky between sarcasm and stupid in the dictionary, you know.
Yeah. Well, I tell you what, I learned not to be stupid. And I'll tell you this, I was all of it was snarky. I will admit to that, because this attorney, in my view, was a piece of crap that actually was suborning perjury at the time. So, but I digress. Anyway, so okay. Folks, that's why we got to support Sam Andrews, Freedom Center USA. The link will be in the program description box, because you know what? He's out fighting the fight for all of us. And your course, obviously, the training course is one of, I think, probably the best in the country, right? I mean,
I think our students learn firearm skills under our teaching and curriculum at triple to quadruple the rate they will learn at any other school. And there's specific reasons why. We build a foundation to support the next thing we teach. That's one reason. Right. Second reason is our curriculum's designed to work with any type of brain. You know, some people are auditory learners. If you speak instructions to them, they follow instructions, auditory, they hear the instructions and they do what you tell them to do.
Yeah.
As long as you give them clear instructions, they learn quickly. Other people are what I call dynamic learners. They have to do it over and over and over again, get some repetition, figure out how to do it right, and then repeat it over and over. And they're like, yeah, let me try it 50 or 100 times and I'll nail it. I'll have it down. Okay. Those are what I call dynamic learners. And then there are what I call copycat learners. And generally the younger students, if they see a Navy SEAL or somebody like me run a pistol or a rifle, and they go, oh, that's what it's supposed to look like, I can do that. And they literally, they're like, it's like a 7-year-old girl copying a dance move. If they see it done by a pro, they're like, bam, I got this. Because their brain imprints those actions on, and it just works for them. And so you have these different types of brains. And if you design a curriculum to reach all these different brain types, then you don't lose anybody. You know, everybody learns in that environment, no matter how they think, no matter how they learn, no matter how their brain is wired. And that's a very important thing. And I think the 18 hours of psychology I had in undergrad school helped me learn how to do that. I mean, you know, a lot of people say, oh, psychology is voodoo, blah, blah, blah. Well, no, there are some legit things that you learn from psychology, and you can use that as a teacher.
Yes, I totally agree. Yeah.
And so when you take those first two items that I just discussed, and you combine that with the fact that we've brought instructors in that are British SAS, SEAL Team 6, CAG operators, U.S. Army sniper instructors, MARSOC Marines, South African Special Forces, German GSG 9 guys. We have taken, see, all of these people that I just named come from completely different gun cultures. They don't do everything the same. And it was really fun early on with these guys listening to them argue their culture is better than your culture, right? And so from the direct action intelligence guys to the SEAL Team 6 guys, we would have these discussions amongst the instructors, what's really important, what's the best way to do something. And after a while, the arguments sort of started to look like a waste of time to me because we weren't getting anywhere.
Right.
And I would say to the guys, I'd say, you guys are still arguing about this? I think you're still arguing about this because you don't really understand the mission here. What is your mission as an instructor here at the Freedom Center? Why are you here? What's the point? And they're, well, to teach guys how to shoot their guns. I'd get answers like that. And I'd say, well, not exactly. Let me clarify this for you. Your mission as an instructor in the Freedom Center is to make my students as absolutely hard to kill as you possibly can in the limited time you have them. That's it. That's your job. And if you want to remain here teaching for the money you get paid, you will keep that mission at the forefront of your thoughts. Everything you do will be measured against that.
Admirable mission, yes.
And you know, people have said to me, what do you do, Sam? What you train people or you build guns or what do you do? What is your job? And the looks I get when I give them the true answer.
I said, you never give them the true answer. Come on.
I absolutely give them the right answer.
No, I mean, you can't.
My job is to make sure that my customers never lose a gunfight.
Okay, now we're talking your business as opposed to your business.
The other stuff, right?
Yeah, okay.
Understand that. So my job is to make sure that my customers win. That's it. Doesn't matter. If I'm building them a gun and that gun jams or fails, my guy loses. I didn't do my job if that happened. Never happened, and it better not ever happen. But the fact that my students come and take my firearms training classes, if they are ill-equipped to defend themselves and they get killed or injured, I failed.
Yeah.
Okay? So in every circumstance involving the Freedom Center or Tier 1 weapon systems, my job is to make sure that my customers win.
And thank you for that, because a lot of, look, I see a lot of places out there. One kind of a mouthy one of late, mouthy about some other things where I'm not going to get, I don't want, they own the tactical range, if you will. And they're not like that. So you're a very precious commodity. And folks, I'm just telling it like it is from an outside perspective. I mean, I don't get paid to say that, but I'll tell you what, I've seen the results going in and coming out, and what a difference. So
didn't a year or two ago you send a trooper from Texas up to evaluate our program?
To evaluate.
Somebody you knew that came up. He was a Texas State Trooper, SWAT guy, I think.
Yeah. Oh, go on.
And of course, he told us about his extensive firearms training when he got to our training center. And we did an initial evaluation of him and his El Presidente. And it was, you know, it's 6 shots, a magazine change, and 6 shots. You've got 3 targets. You run 2 shots, 2 each. And then you change mags. And then 6 shots, 2 to each target, go in the other direction. And of course, we measure split times between shots, time moving from target to target, your magazine change time, right? And your reaction time. Those are the 4 key points we look at. Well, if I remember right, I think his El Presidente time initial evaluation was around 14 and a half seconds. Okay. It wasn't good. It was average from police, but it wasn't good.
No, not even close. Believe me. I heard all. Oh my goodness. Yeah. Yeah.
At the end of 4 days, his final evaluation, that was like 5.5 seconds. He was almost SEAL Team 6 fast.
Yep.
So how many years of firearms training? How many years of practicing with the police? How many courses for SWAT with firearms had that man been through? He spent 4 days with us, and he was literally 3 times better.
And
more accurate, just faster.
That was the other thing, too. The accuracy, yes. Oh, man. It was almost like a rebirth.
This is how we know we're better than everybody else.
Yeah.
Because one of our instructors, one of our best instructors, trained at Asymmetric Solutions for 9 years.
Really?
And his best friend, one of his best friends, a guy that was a Missouri Highway Patrol sniper, had been training at the same place privately for almost a decade.
Huh.
And when they got to us, they had taken, 20 classes, 25 classes. And we measured their proficiency when they got to us. And we measured their proficiency after 4 days of training with us. They were twice as good. Twice as fast.
Yeah.
And so we do that in the basic course, the very first course. But when you learn the fundamentals of trigger control, when you learn the fundamentals of recoil management and balance, okay, and how to get the gun to your sight picture quickly, and how to properly do a mag change. When you learn these things, okay, now I'll give you an example. How does 99% of all people that train with an AR-15 or an AR-10, how do they insert a mag in their gun? And I mean the wrong method.
AR-10
right here that we're auctioning off to help pay our legal bills. This is a $6,800 sniper rifle that shoots sub quarter minute of angle. Most accurate 308 probably ever made in semi-auto.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now watch my thumb, okay? When I shoulder this weapon and I go to insert a mag, where's my thumb if it's behind the magazine? It's trapped by the trigger guard.
Of course.
Okay. And so now the guy runs the mag up there and he's like, oh. And he pulls his thumb out, trying to release his thumb. And he finally gets to the bolt release. Okay. Now, let me show you. If you keep your thumb on the side of the mag and you insert the mag, and I'm gonna dry fire this weapon. I've just cleared this weapon. I'm going to dry fire it in my house. And I'm going to show you what happens when you insert a mag, okay, with your thumb on the side of the mag. Boom. You can fire the gun that quick.
Yeah.
Okay. And so just the position of the thumb on the magazine can save you almost a full second in a reload.
So, and little thing, not little things, little, things like
little,
that.
Little thing. You add 20 of those things up, and instead of shooting a 17-second El Presidente, you learn to shoot a 5-second El Presidente.
Yep.
That's the difference. And it's the details of no wasted motion. Because if you grab that mag out of your pouch wrong and you don't have the thumb on the side, you're slow.
Thank you.
That's simple.
That's, yep. Yep.
And so if you're running the trigger and you don't keep your finger on the trigger, if you don't just let it back to the reset point and pull it again, if you let your finger fly off the trigger with every trigger pull, most amateurs do.
Yes.
You're slow. Your split times are 0.25. My split times are 0.11. Why would you be twice as slow as me when I'm old and weak compared to what I was when I was young, right?
Right. I get that. Believe me, I get that.
And so all these techniques, they add up. They add up really quick. The average person does a magazine change in 4 or 5 seconds. Our instructors do it in 1.2 seconds. So can you?
Everyone can.
Put your mags in your pouch, right? Get your hand on the mag properly and insert it with your thumb on the side, get the bolt closed, and get back in the fight.
Yep.
It's a half-second deal, not a 3-second deal. And so But learning these techniques and having no wasted motion is the key to speed. Economy of motion is the key to speed when it comes to running a firearm. And that those are the things we teach better than anyone in the world.
Amen. And I, folks, I'm going to tell you right now, if you've got classes, I mean, you're open for classes, right?
April to the first week of December.
Okay.
We have classes. And then in the other times, you know, December, depending on who's available, we do private training. Or like we had a group of doctors come down from St. Louis in December, to train. And we had a group from Wyoming, a private group, come down to train the second week of December. I stayed to teach that class.
Okay.
But we try to turn our instructors loose for 3 months, get them out of here. Because it is stressful training people with firearms, particularly newer students in the basic combat class. That's the most stressful class because the students don't know what to expect. Their safety discipline, their trigger finger control, their safety control, their muzzle control isn't what it should be. That's why they're in the basic class. And so we're teaching these safety skills and demanding performance with that. And the instructors don't get a break from 7:30 in the morning till 6 at night.
Yeah, you're on hard.
We go to dinner as a group of instructors, and we talk about every student and what we're going to focus on and watch out for them the next day. And we have a working dinner even after a 10 to 11 hour day. So, I mean, my instructors work harder than any other instructors, and I demand that. They're there the day before the class starts. We're setting up, cleaning the range, putting fresh targets up, fresh target backers, lining up the steel, making sure that the floating steel holders. We have a system at our range where there is a horizontal piece of steel that's embedded into the berm, and the target hangs off the end of the steel. It hooks through. And then, so as you look at the target, you can't even see the hanger because it looks like the target's literally floating in midair. And that way you cannot shoot the apparatus that's holding up the target. So you don't get a false indication of a hit, and you don't damage. You're not hanging your targets from straps or doing or chains where you, a student could shoot a chain off a target, and then you'd have to stop and reset and repair the targets. We don't have to do any of that because we have these floating target holders that I invented that just work remarkably well. We haven't had to repair a single one in 4 years.
It's going to be a record of some kind. I mean,
when you look at how people shoot stuff up.
Yeah.
That's a pretty amazing record. On the big range, we still have some targets we hang. But on the Coliseum range, where we do the combat training.
Put me out there, you're going to be repairing everything.
I think you could shoot all day in the Coliseum range and not hurt a thing other than yourself.
Given the opportunity, I'm sure.
We try to come up with creative solutions, for training, and it's like no man left behind. I tell my instructors, you have to reach everybody. Everybody paid the same amount to be in this class. Yep. So everybody's got to get 105% from you. And, my instructors are great. They're great men. I mean, they proved it overseas and they have done their work. To be an instructor at my facility, you have to be able to shoot an El Presidente in under 4 seconds with every weapon, your sidearm, your M4, everything. Huh. And that is a rare bird that has done that much work on their firearm skills.
Man. But see, I have a feeling, Sam, that we're going to be needing, or at least having someone close to us old folk the demographic, look, folks, I have a feeling we're going to be needing some capable, qualified individuals to be running point for us, protecting us, in a sense. I mean, we might be old, but we can hold our own. It's the other thing a little bit, you know, it's a little bit more that's coming to us. Let me get your take on this, because you were mentally really wrapped up with things today, but I had some time earlier to think about where we are headed with this ratcheting up of the ice removal. And right, not too far from you in Kansas City, channel. I'm not sure. Hang on 1 second. I'll tell you. In fact, Eric the Tech, I can send you this. I don't know whether you saw this or not. What I saw, where was sent to me, I should say, from, I'll say, your neighbor, Patriot Doctor, if you will. Oh my goodness. The vehicles that were being outfitted for ICE, the takedowns in Kansas City, things are rushing up. So, in fact, I'm gonna send this, because if for nothing else, Sam, just seeing the number of vehicles in Kansas City, not even publicized, but it's a picture's worth a thousand words. So here's what I'm going to do. Eric the Tech, this is coming at you right now. Sam, take a look at this and tell me what you think. And then in the larger sense, tell me what you think is going to happen, or what is likely to happen given the current political, social environment that we got. So you can start there.
I think we are due for what a modern equivalent to the long, hot summer of 1967. I think
that's an important distinction. Go ahead.
And I think what you're going to see are a bunch of paid protesters and paid shills out causing riots, causing protests, trying to make it look organic when we all know it's not. 60% of Americans want illegal aliens out of this country. Okay. If you're not here legally, you should leave. Okay. That's the truth. And, you know, these people make these insincere arguments. There are no illegal humans. No, we're all God's children. But you know what? When you come into someone else's country, you should do it with an ounce of respect.
Yes.
You should have an ounce of respect for their laws and their culture. Okay. Waving the Mexican flag around, saying F you to Americans, right? Telling us that you really own this land, that the Americans stole it from you. Actually, I think we bought it from you. I think it was a purchase.
Well, depending on what part you're talking about, it was.
Yeah. So, yeah. But my point is that you don't go into someone else's house in any other way than with your hat in your hand and respect. And if you were raised properly by a decent human being, if your parents were decent human beings, they taught you that. And when you go into someone else's house, you have your hat in your hand and you have some humility and you have some respect.
That's right.
Now, that doesn't give them the right to abuse you, but you also don't have the right to abuse them. And here's the thing. And I remind people this, our Constitution was an agreement. It was a contract. We will form a federal government and limit the powers of that federal government to this list enumerated in the contract called the U.S. Constitution. Okay?
Right.
They're enumerated. They're listed specifically. If the power isn't listed, then it's reserved to the people in the states, a la review the 9th and 10th Amendment of the Bill of Rights. If it's not enumerated, okay, so in fact, there's no enumerated power for the FBI.
And
look at what's grown out of control.
Yes.
You know what? There is an enumerated power to justify the existence of ICE and Border Patrol.
Exactly.
Those are lawful, legitimate police officers. And if you don't like what they're doing, then your job as an elector in this republic is to elect people to change the laws. It's not to go out and threaten or spit on or attack an ICE or an immigration agent or to run over them with your car or to do any other untold number of stupid things that put yourself, your family, and the ICE agents in danger.
Right.
And see, this is the problem. When you throw your car in reverse and then you throw it and drive and you've been ordered lawfully out of your car and you choose to step on the gas and run your car into an ICE agent, that man has a moral reason to defend himself, and you gave it to him.
You know? It's interesting how you phrase that, a moral obligation.
He has a family. He has a mother and a father and a wife and children, and he has a moral obligation to his family to defend his own life.
And people talk about the legal obligation or the legal responsibility, but that and folks, I implore you, this is why I like this platform, because guys like Sam Andrews, we don't talk about the surface stuff. He's talking about the moral imperative to do his job so he can go home at night. Thank you, because that to me is what's missing out there even in the conservative sphere. Thank you.
Every honest police officer faithfully executing his duties as an officer has the right to defend himself if you are the primary aggressor and attack him with a vehicle.
Yeah.
Okay. That's just simple. You know what I don't like? I don't like bullies and I don't like primary aggressors.
Okay? Thank
you. I spent my life ending bullies and primary aggressors. I don't like that stuff.
Tossing liars though too, if you don't mind. But
yeah, well, I can't terminate someone for lying.
I'd really like to. Okay, I didn't realize we're talking about the line for termination. Okay, I got you. All right.
But when someone is a legitimate threat, they have means, opportunity, and intent, and they start executing on that intent, you don't have to wait for them to run you over to defend yourself. Now, this guy did. He waited until he got hit. He didn't even put his hand on his pistol until she stuck it in drive and hit the gas.
Right. And I did send you the various angles, and then that newest angle came out, or the body cam, I think.
Yeah, look at her eyes when he's got the cell phone in front of the car, 8 feet from the car.
Yeah.
Where are her eyes looking? They're looking right at him.
Yeah.
How could she couldn't claim she didn't know he was there. She was staring right at him when she threw it in drive and stepped on the gas.
But Sam, okay, so this, I've been hearing from a lot of people, and thank you for the emails. Everyone sent me an email. I try to read them all. I mean, look, I've got hundreds, okay, of emails about this topic, especially the domestic issues. Here's my concern. You said a couple of things. 60% want illegals out of here. Okay, now to me, they are illegal aliens in this country. People have a problem with that descriptive term. They're friggin' alien to this country, so therefore they're illegal aliens. You got a problem with that? Take it up with your English teacher. Oh, that's right, you probably didn't have one. All right, second of all, what the hell? 40%? 40% are okay with it? What's wrong with the 40%? That's number one. Number two,
mental illness.
Yeah, of course. And the mental illness, but the behavioral modification by like Tavistock and such. Okay. I mean, this country has been inundated. Oh my gosh. Let me get back to it. Here's the other thing. Here's what I see taking place right now. And tell me if I'm wrong. There will be another shooting. People out there on the left who believe through this brainwash, through this mind manipulation, I shouldn't say brainwash, that's the wrong word, through the behavioral modification by the left, by the repetitive, you know, Nazi, fascist, you know, Hitler, on and on and on and on. There will be attacks against ICE agents.
Absolutely.
So,
So let's talk about this scene from a different perspective.
Okay, please.
Because I took logic in high school. I took Latin. I took logic. I took logic in college. And when you study the science of logic, you learn about fallacies of logic. Yep. You learn about reasoning. You learn about syllogisms, things like this, and conclusions. And you learn, very importantly, to take an argument and reduce it to symbolism and then analyze its merit.
Being the most effective.
That is an incredibly important skill. So I want to talk to any liberal that says this ICE agent had no right to defend himself, because I want to ask him a question. I want a liberal that has a daughter. Find me one of these clowns, and I want to debate them. And I want to say, if there is a Trump supporter in that vehicle, and he was blocking the road, and your daughter's school was having a parade, and your daughter pulled her phone out and was in front of that vehicle when the officer went up to the window and said, get out of the car. Get the F out now. You're under arrest. We're detaining you. And that Trump supporter had jammed that car in drive and hit your daughter with the front of that vehicle. Now what? You going to call it the same?
Well, that's different.
This is how you deal with these immoral, mentally ill retards. You take the bias out of it. You see what I'm saying? You put the thing they love most in front of the minivan. Now, does the Trump supporter have the right to run over that little girl?
But the problem I see is you cannot even attempt to have that discussion with these people. They are so dug in that you. So in order to present that scenario right. So look, in my view, those kind of people have to be put down. Because you can't. Yeah, yep. I said it. You can't coexist with these people.
Doug, people say to me all the time, they write in comments on your show and they write it on John Moore's deal. And, oh, Sam, you're so arrogant. You always think you're right. You know, and so ask me the question, Doug. How do you know you're right?
Okay, how do you know you're right?
Because I make an effort in every scenario to pull my personal bias out of the analysis by changing the roles. Instead of a cop with the cell phone in front of the vehicle, a little girl. Instead of a liberal dyke, an ICE-hating, Trump-hating dyke driving the vehicle, you put a Trump supporter in there. You reverse or use symbolism that's either the opposite end of the spectrum or completely neutral, and run the same analysis. Do you get to the same conclusion, or did your bias possibly affect the way you look at the merits of the case?
But see, and here's where I have the problem with that. I agree with you on that 100%. However, you won't even get to that possibility of a discussion.
Because, no, not with a mentally ill person, because they will freak out, they will get offended, they will start yelling, because reason debate, which our founding fathers founded this country on, doesn't exist anymore. There's no honor with these people. There's no integrity with these people. They don't have enough confidence in their own bogus position to listen to the other side of the argument. They're incapable of it. And that, like I said, it's mental illness. And look at how unhealthy these people are. And you laugh. And my wife laughed at me the first time I said
no, that. No, I laugh. The reason I laugh is because I just knew that was going to be brought up for my own reasons. But okay,
people that are not, look, when you have insulin resistance, when you have high blood sugar, when you have systemic inflammation, you can't tell at first. It's easy to see on the body. Mm-hmm. Carry a little extra weight. You don't move as fast. You're not as flexible. Your joints hurt a lot.
You know, when you don't take care of your body, you have these health issues. Well, guess what? The same thing that causes insulin resistance on the cells in your body, at that same time that it's causing those problems with your body, those same issues are above the blood-brain barrier.
Yes.
Building amyloid plaques on your brain, destroying your neurons, causing tau tangles with tau proteins in your brain, and literally destroying this incredible gift of a brain God gave you. Now, here's the funny thing. Most people use 10 to 20% of their brain. So they get some degradation, but they still function in life to some degree. It's hard to tell until they get older. But right. If the damage is done, it's already done.
Yes.
And I can tell you this, just from having type 2 diabetes and being 20 pounds overweight, I can tell you that I have slowed down 5% mentally. I can see it on the racetrack. I can see it with my memory. And now since I've started peptides and working out 5 days a week and eating, my wife is an incredible cook. She cooks me the healthiest meals. She's helped me so much with both research and the logistics of being healthy.
Yep.
I can tell you that I have turned that around and it's headed back the other direction. And things like cerebrolysin and C-Max and apitalon, these things affect your memory. They affect the growth factors in your brain. You can actually grow new memory compartments. You can grow new neurons, new synapses in your brain with the right peptides. And the technology is remarkable. It actually works. You know, I tell people I have a pet kangaroo that weighs 200 pounds named Sam. And this stuff's working like a charm on my pet kangaroo. I'm seeing major improvements. But if you know what I'm saying, you know what I'm saying, right?
Exactly. And folks, you know what you're saying. Go on.
Now, there are not many guys my age out on a 250 horsepower Ducati doing 200 miles an hour down the back straight of Coda and dragging their knee and their elbow in the corners. I do that for fun. And I'm about to turn 69.
So, you know something, I saw that, I saw the video, folks, I saw the video of that, I don't know if you were being held hostage and had to do that, because, you know, your family was, who in the right mind would do that? Because just from that point of view, oh my goodness, okay, maybe 30 years ago I'd be okay with that, but not today, man. You?
Well, wow. There are not a lot of guys that at my age have the athletic ability to ride the lap times that I do on that track. And it's because I have had the advice and the research and the help of multiple doctors and multiple scientists and my wife doing research and myself doing research and learning about human biology and what works and what does not work. And I'll tell you, your reflexes going through the S's, turns 2 through 9 at Circuit of the Americas in Texas, you're going to know if things are working or not. Because you are slamming that motorcycle on its side back and forth 9 times. And you are working your butt off. And it is a cardiovascularly challenging thing to do, go through that series of turns at speed. And
yeah,
and you can't do that unless your eyes are good, your brain is good, you have a certain threshold of strength, you have a certain threshold of cardiovascular fitness. And it's a rare thing to be blessed with that kind of strength and that kind of health at my age. But it wasn't what you think. It wasn't genetics. I'm no different than any other guy my age.
Right.
Other than the fact that I've had the benefit of some incredibly talented doctors and scientists that have helped me.
And you've actually reversed conditions as opposed to holding them absolutely at bay.
My left lower coronary artery was clogged almost 40%.
Yep.
In less than 7 months, I completely reversed that. And to full 100% flow. And I did that with some tools. And I'm glad you brought that up.
And folks, this is not medical advice, but I've seen some amazing things happen. Go ahead.
If you see this right here, this product, fibrolinitic assay enzymes, This has lumbrokinase, nattokinase, and serrapeptase in it.
Yep.
For cardiovascular fitness, for cleaning out and repairing your arteries, the peptides of BPC-157, TB-500, GHKCU, that bottle of fibrolytic enzymes, Mark 7K2 oral supplement, and magnesium glycinate and magnesium L-threonate in combinations at the right time during the day will completely remove the calcium deposits from your arteries and your veins.
Yep.
Over time, if you eat healthy and you work out and you sleep, you have to shape the battlefield for the win. But it is possible. It is doable. I've proven it. I've done it. And when I went to see my cardiologist almost a year ago, okay, I know it was almost a year ago because they called me the other day and said, hey, you're due to come in for a review. It's been a year.
Yep.
They put me on a treadmill that had an incline. They got my heart rate to 165. And then they videoed my heart and my major arteries, ultrasound. And they have software now that can track the movement of the valves and track the blood flow in every area of your
heart. Believe me, I'm aware of that. And folks, if you're not aware of that, what they got, they can do. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, it's remarkable.
It's technology. Amazing. Yeah.
Now, I went through this test. The nurses and specialists did the test. The cardiologist wasn't there. But I went back to his office and waited in a waiting room for him to show up with the test results. And he walks in the door and he looks confused and he looks befuddled and he looks frustrated. And he looks at me and he says, what have you been doing?
Yeah.
I said, what do you mean? He said, no, seriously, what have you been doing for the last 6 months? I said, well, I've been working out and I've been taking some supplements and trying to eat healthy. And I go, why? You look upset. Did you see something that's not right? And he said, no. In fact, you went from a 40% blockage. I've never seen this before. Now you're at 100%. You have no blockage. The calcium is gone.
Yeah.
He said, I don't understand. How did you do this? And he had the CAT scan result because they do a calcium CAT scan and assign you numbers. So he had both the test I just took and the calcium.
I had that done. Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
7 months ago. Yep. And he was like bewildered on how this happened. And I said, well, I've been taking lumbrokinase and nattokinase and K2 and magnesium. And I've been working out hard and trying to get in shape. I said, so am I clear to go on the racetrack? And he said, you're clear to do anything you want. I've never seen anything like this.
Yep.
And so I'm telling you, if you're willing to do the work, you can change your own physiology. And it's not an easy task. There are days when I didn't feel like going to the gym. I went anyway. Now, maybe I didn't put 100% in that day, but I put in 95. And you just have to show up, do the work, and understand the mechanisms that will fix your problem. And a combination of peptides, the right supplements, getting your hormones balanced, and get rid of the systemic inflammation. Those are the three keys to shape the battlefield. And then it's just a matter of discipline over time.
And there it is.
I would recommend anybody over the age of 35, 40 to look into this stuff. Because the technology is there now to be really healthy for a long time.
I feel like we're having a Joe Rogan moment here. Okay, look, in terms of, Sam, my demographic, admittedly, the majority is of the demographic viewers and listeners are over, definitely over 40, mostly over 50. Okay, so I get emails and notes, and I see on the chat where people are having hard times with this or that. And I got to tell you something, you can't, what Sam is talking about, okay, it's almost like, remember the stir that RFK caused by methylene blue? And
yes.
What's he putting in the, what's that blue stuff? It's methylene blue.
It's a clothing dye is what it is from the 1800s.
Essentially, yeah. Well, yeah, that exactly. But
every hospital has it for anyone that has carbon monoxide poisoning. They feed it into you through an IV.
How true is that? Boy, okay. You took my thought. You stole my thunder. But yes, exactly. Yes. But what you're talking right. about. Folks, if you have look, this is unscripted, but if you have conditions that, like Sam and me, look, I had stone heart syndrome or something like that. Okay, but today I went in. I was at the medical office today, and my doctor did some workups on me, and he looked at me and said, didn't expect you to be." I didn't expect you to be here at this point where, you know, given where you were 6 months.
He didn't expect you to move the needle in a positive direction.
No, he said, I thought you'd kind of be lumbering on in here. And I said, you know, I've been doing some stuff. And he said, apparently. And then the conversation went the same, kind of like with you, whatever, you know. But folks, look, if you're struggling out there, you can get there are answers.
Answers. And you know what makes me sad, Doug, is to my wife and I spent probably $4,000 or $5,000 on supplements, oral supplements.
Yep.
Vitamins, fish oil, B12, K2, all these things, right? All these different things, zinc and potassium. And I mean, we have an array of supplements that we could afford. And it moved the needle about 2.5%.
Yep.
But when you combine these modern peptides that you inject subcutaneously with the proper supplementation based on blood work, based on your personal biology, you move the needle about 2,000%. And you do it quickly in less than 6 months, not 2 or 3 years. And the thing that makes me sad is, one, that our FDA has prevented this technology from being used in America. And now people are just, screw the FDA. After COVID, everybody's like, you guys can go whatever, you know, gave the finger to the FDA and said, I'll be the CEO of my own human biology. You guys can pound sand. And that was the turning point. And it started with the gym bros. It started with the guys that tried steroids and had side effects and said, I don't want to do that. I need a more natural way to put on muscle and to be healthier and to be a better athlete. Started with the pro athletes in the gym. And they brought peptides into America. They created this massive market, underground market. And then people started talking about it on YouTube and Facebook and Rumble. And doctors started getting on and educating people about the power of peptides. And now there's this huge gray market for peptides. The government can't stop it. They're not going to be able to shut it down. And they're going to try, probably, because of all the crooked senators bought and paid for by Big Pharma. But the genie's out of the bottle. If they shut the market down, the gray market will go to being a black market 10 times the size of the prohibition alcohol market.
I guarantee it, because I've never seen, and I think you hit the nail on the head. And folks, again, we're talking, even if you feel good, but you have some issues, okay, it could be joint pain. You could, look, it doesn't matter, all right? I'm just telling you, as you get older, as we get older, you know, we start feeling it. But I'll just say this, folks, you might remember, okay, so I had Dr. Bashima Williams on Being Functional, okay, beingfunctional.com is her website, and she introduced me to an entirely, well, everything that Sam's talking about, all right, after just this battery of, for crying out loud, every test out there on the planet, some not so good, you know, results, some okay, but, you know, this stuff can be fixed. So,
yes. You know, Doug, since I've been on your show the last month or two and started talking about the peptide health revolution that's going on in America, and my new mission is all about health freedom and every American being able to be the CEO of their own biology and getting away from these crooked doctors that are businessmen first and doctors second. See, I have no problem, and God bless that doctor, that functional medicine doctor, because you're going to find it's the chiropractors and the functional health doctors that are telling you the truth. It's the big med MDs, by and large. Now, there's some good ones out there, because I've had conversations. I've trained some of them on peptides, and I have friends that have doctors that they go to and say, well, what about this peptide stuff? And
I just say this, Bashim Williams is an MD, just for clarification. Yeah.
Absolutely. And so there are MDs out there that are like, I can't prescribe this stuff to you, but you darn sure better be doing it. And that's how a lot of them are. But, you know, since I started talking about this on your show, I've gotten a number of your listeners call me directly. Say, hey, I'd like to make a donation to the Freedom Center. Can I get your peptide health guide when it's finished? And I said, yeah, we're about 30, 35% of the way through, but I want to add a lot of things to it so it helps a lot of people. It'll be another 5 to 6 weeks before I get this thing finished and ready to send out to people. But absolutely you can. And you know, about 65, 70% of the calls, I've had over 50 of them, have been like this. Hey, Sam, thanks for picking up the phone, man. I really appreciate you answering your phone. I want to make a donation, and I really called you because my grandmother's got cancer, or my brother's got cancer, or my dad is dying, and I don't know what to do. Is there any way you can help him with peptides? And I'm like, it depends, you know, on his state. But yeah, there could be. And so I have been getting so many calls on cancer. Now, what I want to tell everybody here, if you don't have a pencil and paper out, get one out, because I'm going to throw some stuff out there that's absolutely going to blow your mind.
And I didn't expect this, our time together, to go this way, but I'm glad it did. Folks, take the moment right now, grab something to write on. You in the pink sweater there, cocktail napkin. Go ahead. Okay, there you go. All right. You guys ready? Okay. Here we go. Go ahead.
Yeah, if you've got something to write with, I have finished most of my research on cancer and what tools do you have available to you to fight cancer with and to win. And so I'm going to tell you this, when you start any peptides, you're going to have to increase your water intake, but you've got to make sure that you're not drinking straight water. You got to make sure that you're drinking water with electrolytes in it. If you up your water, you've upped your normal water intake, you'll drain the electrolytes out of your body. And that's not a good thing. So let's talk about the first thing that I find.
It's exciting. Folks,
so I can. Exciting stuff. Yeah. This is amazing. Miraculous stuff. It's a product called SS31. It's a peptide. It was just FDA approved. But it was approved for lipodystrophy in AIDS patients in the wisdom and genius of our FDA. Let me tell you what SS31 actually does. Its biological mechanism is to go into the inner mitochondrial wall and bind to cardiolipids and prevent the leakage of protons and electrons from your mitochondria. Now, what does that do? Well, it ups your ATP. And you may ask the question, well, what's ATP and why do I care? ATP is the currency of life in human cells. When you blink your eyes, when you think, when you talk, when you lift weights, when you drive your car, when you do anything, when you have a dream, you are burning ATP. In fact, your brain burns 20 to 30% of the ATP, the energy for life that your body makes at any given moment. That's how important ATP is. It is the currency of life. Now, what does SS31 do? It goes into your ATP factory and it fixes the walls and fixes the machines and says, get busy and make more energy. Now, why is that important? Because cancer only survives in a low energy environment. When your ATP is low, then you can't fight cancer off. Now, SS31 not only ups your ATP production, but it identifies cancer cells, attaches to them, gives them a choice. Go return, turn away from the Warburg effect and your fermentation metabolism and become a normal cell with an oxidative metabolism, or we flag you and kill you.
There it is.
It literally gives the cancer cells in your body a choice. Drop the Warburg effect, go back to a healthy cell, or we destroy you. Not only does it do that, but it prevents the metastasization of cancer cells to human cells. That's how big a deal SS31 is. And what did your crooked government FDA approve SS31 for? Fat distribution in AIDS patients.
Yep.
If that isn't the most damning, condemning, absolutely crushing indictment of our government, considering the level of cancer and the rise of cancer in America, I don't know what.
They don't want to cure cancer.
It's a trillion-dollar industry. Okay, so SS31 is one of your number one tools. Okay, now the next thing is something called thymosin alpha 1. Thymosin alpha 1 is a naturally made messaging peptide that your body naturally produces from a gland, imagine this, called your thymus. Okay, your thymus develops and produces thymosin alpha 1 when you're young, basically to the age of 10 or 12, and then it starts to taper off. What does thymosin alpha 1 do in the body? It trains your T cells and your natural killer T cells to identify self or other. In other words, infections and cancer cells, bacteria, viruses, and cancer cells. Thymosin alpha 1 trains your immune system to recognize things that are not your body in its natural healthy state and destroy them. Now, your thymus gland basically takes life off by the age of 12. So the majority of your immune system training happens before you ever reach 15 years old.
Yep.
Before you ever get a learner's permit to drive a car. And it is incredibly valuable in people over the age of 30 or 40 to strengthen and retrain your immune system and deal with whatever issues you have going on, particularly cancer. Okay. Now, a lot of people are going to go, oh, this doesn't make sense. Well, let's talk about something called reactive oxygen species, ROS. You've heard of free radicals in the body. These free radicals is a synonym basically for reactive oxygen species. These have to be cleaned from the cells on a regular basis, both your body and your brain. You don't clean them out of your brain, you get MS, you get dementia, you get Alzheimer's, you get tau protein tangles, you get amyloid plaques on the neurons, causes all kinds of problems if your autophagy process in the body isn't robust enough to keep your cells clean and running efficiently and making ATP efficiently. So we have this thing called glutathione. Not an oral supplement, but something you can inject. Glutathione binds to reactive oxygen species and toxins and metals and chemicals in your body that don't belong. And once glutathione binds to those things, your body can filter them out. You can pee and excrete them through your poop, okay, and get them out of your body. It is incredibly important for someone fighting cancer to get glutathione on a regular basis, okay? Now, the next tool, you're gonna think, oh, Sam's lost his mind now. A nicotine patch.
Oh, no, that's...
You've been told your whole life, you've been lied to that nicotine is addictive and poisonous to the body. That couldn't be more false. In fact, your body has nicotinol receptors in it naturally made for nicotine. What does nicotine do when you don't smoke it and you don't put it in your body in a way that causes poisons and stuff to be ingested into your body? Just a clean nicotine patch on your rib cage or on your chest or anywhere you can get it to stick, preferably no hair in that area, okay? But a simple 3-milligram patch if you're a woman, or a 7-milligram patch if you're a man, made by Rugby, they make the highest quality patches out there. It will place clean, non-addictive nicotine into your blood system, and it will plug into your nicotinol receptors, and it will suppress the production of cytokines. Cytokines are the things in your body that cause systemic inflammation, which lead to cancer and type 2 diabetes and all kinds of other problems. So when you're battling cancer, having that nicotine patch on every day, put it on in the morning, take it off about an hour and a half before you go to sleep, and you will strengthen your body's ability to fight cancer and also reduce your body's systemic inflammation, which will allow other things to work better in your battle against cancer. So there's another tool. Now, two of the most important tools, these are oral supplements, is something called fenbendazole and ivermectin. Ivermectin, if you have cancer, you're taking in a 12 milligram tablet. Fenbendazole, if you have cancer below the blood-brain barrier, you're taking in a 444 milligram capsule, and you're doing it every day. Okay, this is for your pet kangaroo, of course, not meant to be medical advice, if you know what I mean. Now, if you have cancer issues above the blood-brain barrier, which fenbendazole cannot transcend through that barrier, you can switch fenbendazole out and replace it with something called mebendazole, M-E-B-E-N-D-A-Z-O-L-E, mebendazole, for anything above the blood-brain barrier. Okay, and it's just as effective as fenbendazole is below. Ivermectin and fenbendazole and other tools. Let's move on. LL37. This is a peptide that's injected into your pet kangaroo. LL37 has a very unique effect. It attacks the physical structure, the walls of bacteria and viruses, and destroys them, weakens them, so you're T cells can come in and kill them easier. It also breaks down these membranes that are like pockets for bacteria and viruses. If you've ever had sciatic nerve pain, what is that? That's caused by a problem with the sheath of the nerve or a pinch point on the spine as the nerve transcends to the glutes and the legs. Okay, causes all kinds of problems like that. Well, things like LL37 combined with some of these other tools I'm going to give you can help repair the myelin sheath in your nerves.
Yeah, especially helpful with type 2 diabetics and neuropathy.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I'm telling you right now, it's a game changer. Come on.
These things are game changers. Okay, now, once you have knocked back systemic inflammation with KPV and some of these other peptides, and you've upped your ATP energy, and you've balanced your hormones, you have now shaped the battlefield for the win biologically. This is critical. You can now bring in these healing peptides, specifically BPC-157, TB-500, and GHKCU. That's what they call a copper peptide. Don't ever buy peptides combined all in the same bottle. They have different pHs. They've got to be purchased in separate bottles, and they've got to be injected in your pet kangaroo separately, half an hour apart. Okay? But these three healing peptides combined with thymosin alpha-1 and LL37, these are the tissue-repairing, bone-repairing, ligament, cartilage-repairing peptides. And they also promote angiogenesis and ordered cell reconstruction. TB-500 particularly. So if you want to talk about the healing peptides, the best metaphor I can give you is you're building a house in the woods. You got to have somebody to come in and clear the trees out of the way for a driveway so the truck can back in with the materials you're going to build your house with. So BPC-157 clears the trees, clears the pad for the home. GHKCU is like the materials truck. It backs in with all the concrete, all the wood, all the brick, all the mortar, all the shingles to build the house with. And then TB-500, like a construction foreman, says, we're going to dig the foundation first. We're going to rough in the plumbing second. We're going to pour the concrete third. We're going to build the frame fourth, and orders the construction of the cells. In other words, build it exactly like this. That's what TB-500 does. And so if you have systemic inflammation, if you have your hormones dramatically out of balance, You've got to fix those things to get these healing peptides to work effectively. And there are answers to do that too. For men, and clomiphene and something called boron glycinate can triple your testosterone and can quadruple or 5x your free testosterone, which is what you really need to heal. It's the free testosterone number that really matters to heal your body. And so these are tools to fight cancer. Now, there's another tool called carterine. And this has an amazing effect on helping you control blood sugar and on autophagy in your system. And it's an incredible tool for fighting cancer. Now, there's another tool that's called MOTC, M-O-T-S-C. MOTC activates the AMPK pathway in your cells and allows your mitochondria to produce more ATP. And when you combine that with NAD plus and SS31, you get a 200% bump in ATP production over time.
Meaning, to make it for the average person out there that wants to translate that, you get that bump.
Yeah, what that means is you now have the energy to fight cancer and win. You now have the energy to repair your body and your cells. See, aging and cancer and disease are very often caused by systemic inflammation and a lack of ATP production, so you don't have the energy to fight the immune battle, and you don't have the energy, okay, to do the repairs. It's like having a bunch of materials to build a house, but you got no work crew.
Right.
There's no labor. See, and you need that ATP to move the needle the positive direction and win the fight. It doesn't do you any good to have a gun if you don't have any ammo. It doesn't do you any good to have materials to build a house if you have no labor crew to put it together. And the ATP production is so critical to that process. And so you're working, you're literally battling on four fronts. You're knocking back systemic inflammation. You're getting your hormones balanced. You are increasing your ATP, not just to the level that will sustain health, but to the level that will win a fight, which is higher. And you're retraining your immune system and you're retraining your system, your metabolic system, for your cells to burn lipids, not just sugars and carbs.
Hold that thought, Sam. I want to just turn to the people in the Rumble chat. Anyone in the Rumble chat have any questions about this specific topic? Type them in the chat now, okay? Because, hey, ask now, and maybe we can get the answer for you.
Absolutely. This and like I said, the thing that makes me sad is that we kept this technology out of America, and it's so much less expensive to beat cancer this way than it is to go through chemo and radiation and basically destroy your immune system. Because when you beat cancer the chemo and the radiation way, you just destroy parts of your body and create three or four more issues to deal with down the road. It's not a healthy way to go about it. It's a business racket that's protected by a mafioso model. That's what cancer treatment. I'll give you another example of how this is such a racket for cash. Follow the money. Okay. In America, when you wear out the cartilage in your knees and you go bone to bone, your orthopedist says, you're gonna need a total knee replacement, $65,000. What he's really saying is daddy needs a new Porsche. Okay. In Germany, in Central America, in Europe, you don't buy a $65,000 total knee replacement. What you do is you go to a doctor who actually gives a crap about you and you inject chondrogel. And you can have Eric look that up and post a picture. Chondrogel's been around since 2013. We're going on 13 years now that doctors around the world have been regrowing natural cartilage in knees and avoiding $65,000 surgeries that cause heart problems, cardiovascular problems, joint problems, infection problems, all this other garbage that circles around these total knee replacements and these other joint repairs. So
our top athletes, they go to Germany or they go to Mexico or they go to a Central American country where you get these injections. You have this little surgery. It doesn't take more than about an hour. And they inject chondrogel in you. And then you take some peptides and stuff. And guess what? Your body regrows its own natural cartilage. Now, isn't that amazing? Why aren't we doing this in America? If you go to Chondrogel's website, the manufacturer, they list all of the medical facilities around the world where you can have this procedure. And it's literally a sixth or seventh of the price. Chondrogel is C-H-O-N-D-R-A-G-E-L. But you can literally go to 30 places, 50 places around the world and have this procedure less than half the price of a total knee replacement, and it's way healthier for you, and it's way less invasive, and it's way natural. And then you can go to Chondrogel's website and look at the procedure, how they ablate the area where the cartilage is attached and is damaged, and then they fill the gel in, and it's literally a...
What's the name of that or the name of the website, the gel... Spell it.
Chondrogel is C-H-O-N-D-R-A-G-E-L.
Okay.
And see, my point is not try to sell somebody a certain medical procedure. My point is to tell you that the FDA has prevented anyone in America from doing this for human beings, for Americans. Yep. You have to cross our borders to get modern science. It's disgusting. It's reprehensible. It's immoral. You know what the joint replacement industry is worth in America right now?
Oh man.
$7 billion. It's projected by 2027 to be $35 billion.
Oh yeah.
Follow the money, folks. That's how this game works. And so,
okay, I got some rapid fire questions here for you. Okay, so if someone is new to this and they're hearing this for the first time, or they want more information, where precisely, if they want to do their own research, for example, on peptides, rather than just put peptides in a search engine, I mean, where would you go to find more information about that?
I would, if I were new to this and I wasn't a scientific person,
right?
I would go to Rumble or YouTube, and I would start searching for peptides and finding doctors like Dr. Trevor Bachmeier and some of these female doctors that are MDs that are giving really honest, good information about peptide use. I think some of these people are really sharp. Trevor Bachmeier is probably the sharpest guy that I've come across on human biology. And
yeah, he surprised me when I saw him. He surprised me.
And then, he didn't look like a doctor, did he?
No, he didn't. But I'll tell you what, start there to the people who said, okay, Dr. Trevor Bachmeier, B-A-C-H-M-E-Y-E-R. M-E-Y-E-R. Thank you. Yeah.
So, and there's some gals out there, some MDs that are really sharp. And you look at, there's one Asian, maybe if my wife is listening, she can go on YouTube and find a couple of these gals' names, because we follow certain people on Rumble and YouTube that are really good resources on information on peptide use. And a lot of them are MDs. Some of them are even in America. They literally risk having their license pulled and having their channel pulled down for talking about this stuff. And there are some really good doctors out there, some really smart people that'll give you really honest, careful, safe information about what these peptides are capable of doing and the things you want to consider based on what your personal issues are. But I tell you, anyone who really wants to get started on this thing needs to go get a full blood workup.
Yes. Important to do that, please, yes. First. Have your kangaroo go in.
Before you start, make your kangaroo, give up a few vials of blood, yep. Get a full metabolic panel, and get a full endocrine panel. And let me explain what the endocrine panel has to have for you to make intelligent decisions. You need to know what your total testosterone is. You need to know what your free testosterone is. You need to know what your estradiol number is, and you need to know what your progesterone number is. And most importantly, you need to know what your LH and FSH numbers are. LH stands for luteinizing hormone, and FSH stands for follicle stimulating hormone. You need to know these numbers, because if you spend $1,500 on peptides and you don't balance your hormones, you've basically created a whole bunch of expensive urine, about a month, yes, 2 months worth of expensive urine. Okay.
It's kind of like the supplements that, yeah, it's same deal. Okay. But different, but same. Okay.
Yes. And so for men and women, you know, when I did my blood work and started to deploy this technology, right, on my pet, my personal pet kangaroo, right, I did my blood work, and that blood work said my testosterone was low, 527. The more important number, my free testosterone was really low. And so I used this very elegant solution called enclomiphene. And in less than 2.5 months, I doubled my testosterone. So now I had all the total testosterone I needed. And my free testosterone came up some, but not enough. And then I found out that with a 6 to 10 milligram pill the day before you take enclomiphene, the boron glycinate pill binds in your blood with the proteins that tie up your testosterone. So by the boron glycinate binding up those proteins, the proteins cannot bind your testosterone, and your free testosterone goes up dramatically. That's a really important thing, and it's a really elegant solution, way better than injections if your testicles are still working. Now, it works with women as well. It can raise your testosterone, and boron can raise your free testosterone, which will also raise your estrogen if your estrogen is low for women. So now, men typically, if you're not extremely obese, you don't have to worry about your estradiol numbers climbing with enclomiphene, and it works really well for over 95% of men. But if you're overweight, if you're carrying a lot of body fat, then the smart play is to get on retatrutide for 2 months and reduce your body fat significantly, and then start the enclomiphene and the boron glycinate. As if your kangaroo is a little heavy, that's the safe play. That's the smart play. And then you don't have to worry about your estrogen. See, a lot of people don't realize, everybody thinks of fat as storage of energy, but biologically, that's not true. Visceral fat around your organs is actually an organ. That's where the cytokines are made that cause all the inflammation in your body.
As strange as that sounds, and it's, folks, I had a hard time understanding that.
Okay. Yeah. Visceral fat is an organ that produces cytokines. Now, subcutaneous fat, okay, is involved in the aromatase process in your body. So your body doesn't make estrogen just because you tell it to make estrogen. Your body makes estrogen from the testosterone that your body makes through a process we call aromatase. And so if you have a ton of subcutaneous fat, that subcutaneous fat is deeply involved in the aromatase process. So if you raise your testosterone and you're extremely heavy, you're likely to also significantly raise your estrogen. So you want to make sure you're pushing the insulin back and you've mitigated that subcutaneous fat in your body. And when you do that, you're also going to reduce the visceral fat. So there's tremendous health benefits to retatrutide. And retatrutide programs your cells to burn fat, which makes it so much easier to lose weight. It is the greatest thing I've ever seen to help people that are overweight, retatrutide. And it's a very powerful thing. It's a very powerful peptide. So you want to start really small if your pet kangaroo is heavy, right? You want to start at like 0.4 milligram and do that for a month, and then go up to 0.6, and then go up to 0.8, and then up to 1 milligram, and then kind of see where you are from a fat loss standpoint.
And the message here, And I mean, over talking, the time is important here. The message here is whatever you're ailing from, I'm telling you right now, first of all, you gotta wanna. Just remember that word. You gotta wanna. You have to have that desire, okay, to get better. And second of all, you have to know where to go. And I did put in the chat and Rumble. Well, folks, okay, for example, a functional medicine doctor, as I mentioned, Dr. Bashima Williams, it's spelled Basima, but it's Bashima Williams from beingfunctional.com will help you. Not just peptide therapy. No, you gotta get the whole package, because taking peptides and going out eating pizza and drinking Mountain Dew, okay, you're an idiot. Okay. In fact, you're going to be a broke idiot, a broke sick idiot. So you got to do the whole package. But the other question I have here, Sam, is this. Your guy that you mentioned, okay, because folks, I know he put in months and years of, I mean, just, I don't know, a crap ton of research on this from medical journals and sifting through stuff that's not available in the U.S., but in Russia.
You can pay for it. You can go to the universities and pay, I pay $75 for Cambridge. I pay $75 for these different universities so I can read all the medical studies.
Right. I hit that paywall.
A 1 year subscription. And there's a lot of stuff out of Russia. Anna Simov hit that scientist. He's the one that put out the definitive Epitalon study.
I thought that was a Croatia. Because I just came across that paper yesterday.
These guys are super valuable. The German researchers, the German doctors, the Russian, the Croatian, these guys, in Russia, they take Epitalon, which
hang on, did you say Cavison?
Cavison is one of them. He did a study on Epitalon.
Yeah.
And also Anna Simov.
All right. Because I do have, you're right, Russian scientist Cavison. Because I did my own looking at this and go ahead.
Yeah, the studies are out there. If you want to read, they're there. You can find them on the internet. And some of them are remarkable. And, you know, like I said, Russians take Epitalon like Americans take vitamin D pills and vitamin C. It is the government wants their men taking Epitalon. Why? Because it lengthens your telomeres, which lengthens your life. It extends your life. And it improves your eyes. And it's part of a combination of peptides that protect your brain.
Cavison, it's known for its potential anti-aging effects, improving melatonin production, enhancing sleep, reducing oxidative stress, and promoting longevity.
If you're not a scientist, you don't know what a telomere is. The telomere is on the end of your genes. It's shaped like a T, like a Tesla T in a microscopic size. And the length of the post of the T is the most accurate predictor of life expectancy we have for human beings and kangaroos. So when your cell has to produce a lot of energy, that telomere shortens, that post shortens. When it divides, when the cell divides, that post shortens. When it gets to a certain shortness, the cell dies. We have what we call senescence and then apoptosis. So
understand kangaroo dies.
That something can lengthen your telomeres and extend the life of your body and extend not just your lifespan, but your health span. And that's what I'm all about.
And thank you.
Amazing stuff.
Folks, look, you could tune in any show and you could hear, you know, the latest outrage about this or that, but this stuff helps you. And, you know, you look for solutions because, look, we only have so much time on this planet. And this is not about becoming, you know, living to 150. This is about living well as long as God has you on this earth, living, you know, healthy as long as you And,
and I want to throw this out, Doug. If you really believe in God, and I believe a lot of your audience are solid Christian, if you really believe in God, and you really believe that God has a purpose for you on this planet, do you or do you not have a moral obligation to take care of that temple, that body that God gave you? And my answer is yes, you do. And so if you can afford this technology, if you can use this technology, why wouldn't you?
It's, and by the way,
you're not changing your DNA. You're not it's not like the clock shot. You're not modifying mRNA or anything. What you do is you're plugging into a cell receptor. You're turning the cell on, causing gene expression. And that gene expression brings out a list of instructions God designed in you.
Yes.
Okay. And said, do this, this, and this to heal the body. Now, people say, well, how is this possible? Well, I'm going to remind you, if you're human, your body grew from one cell, and then another cell joined it, and then it started to grow. All of that information to grow you from a two-cell apparatus to an adult, healthy 25-year-old, all of that information was in your genes. It was all internal. God put it all there, and it's in a remarkable amount of information. Everything your body needs to know to heal itself is already there. That's how your body got built in the first place. And so the wonderful thing about peptides is you are working within the natural feedback loop of the body of God's design. You're not changing that design. And that's a beautiful thing, because once you start to study this stuff and you realize the beauty of God's design and how just sending a message to that mechanism and what can happen in a positive way for your body. It's, to me, it's the most miraculous thing I've ever witnessed in my entire life.
Amen. Amen to that. And when you understand the complexity, but the simplicity as well, I mean, it sounds stupid, but.
So I had a nephew that said to me, well, what about the spiritual implications of injecting peptides? Have you considered that? And I said, Aaron, young man, you already have, put there by God, 4 billion peptides coursing through your body. They are the messengers in your body. That is how your body communicates. That's how
it's an amino acid, right? I mean,
it's an amino acid that's already in your body. I said, what do you mean? Consider the spiritual implications of putting something in your body that God already put in there? Are you kidding me? How silly a question is that?
It's, and
the truth is, as we, our body doesn't make as much BPC-157. We don't make as much thymus and alpha-1. You know, we don't make as much MOXIE. But by the way, Doug, if you go in your exercise room in your house and you exercise for 30 minutes, your cells produce 30 times the MOXIE in your body naturally as you have in your body sitting here doing this podcast.
Correct. Now, yeah. Okay. But again, I'm sorry about the time. You had mentioned a report that you are that either have done or are in the process of finishing. Is that out yet?
No, I'm in the middle of developing a very comprehensive health guide for tools to fight illness.
For your kangaroo,
cancer,
right?
Type 2 diabetes, all of the common things that are out there, heart disease, muscle repair, ligament tears, bone breaks. I'm going to put out a guide on the tools, both oral and injectable, that you have at your disposal to heal your body if you have an issue. And it is comprehensive. And being a motorcycle racer, I can promise you I've tested a lot of stuff and it works.
Well, yeah, okay. Wow. Sam, that's it's good stuff.
I've been on the ground at over 150 miles an hour 6 times in my motorcycle racing. And I'm still here by the grace of God.
Well,
but sometimes when you slide and bounce, flip, and fly over the ground and
bounce like a rock skipping across a pond at 160. Sometimes you suffer for that.
You think?
A little bit. You get bruises in place you didn't even know you could have bruises. I can tell you that from.
Oh, I'm sure. Sam's working on that. I'm sure if you do not inundate, but promise not to inundate Sam with phone calls. But folks, you can. If you want to know, here's what I would do. And Sam, correct me if I'm wrong, because there's something else here that's breaking. I want to get your take on. But if you would use like Grok or an AI, whatever you, or just type in a search engine, for example, something like what are peptides, comma, you know, where can I find out more, or where can I find more information about the research? You got to make sure it's research about peptides. Start there. And then is that a good place? I mean,
I wouldn't, because the AI has been so unreliable. It wasn't really reliable. It wasn't good quality information.
All right. So people don't slam you though. I mean, tell people how to start this on their own that they can do, so they don't call you at 3 a.m. Go ahead.
Well, some of the really smart MDs on YouTube and Rumble and Dr. Trevor Bachmeier, they have videos on what is a peptide. And so you just type into the search in YouTube or Rumble, what is a peptide? And you'll get a whole host of videos come out. Stay away from the gym bros, the guys that are all muscled up. You know, you know, I take the Samarelin and the Pamarelin. That's how I got my big picks. You know, stay away from those guys. Stick with the MDs that are intelligent and articulate and get to the facts.
Yeah, and I deliberately repeated that question in case people are saying, well, yes, I read. Because, folks, please do me a favor. Before you even think, because Sam's phone number is published out there on his website, before you even think about doing that, please do me a favor and get because I know you guys can do this. Get the basic research done yourself. It took me, let me tell you something, okay? I'm a pretty good investigator, but doggone it. Do you think I could convert a microgram to a milliliter in terms of dosing, you know, for my kangaroo? Not for the life of me. It took me a flipping month to figure it out. But then, ba-da-bing, the lights went on, and but you can do this. So do it yourself, okay? Please, first. And then, after you have a basic linguistic commonality with Sam, you can maybe sometimes talk to him. And then, when he comes out with his guide, he's going to charge you at the backside for it, and I hope he does. Or maybe
not my style. So my style is this: if you're willing to help me with my legal fees, I'm going to give you the guide for free. And when you call me and say, "Hey, I'd like to send a donation to your legal fund to help you fund that lawsuit," when you call me, and I would encourage you to call me, we're going to have a 10 or 15 minute chat about peptides. And I'm going to find out what's going on with you, and I'm going to try to steer you in the right direction.
And I'll tell you something.
And it's not about charging people money. I got this information for very little money. God provided me this technology and this information with some incredible resources. And I'm not a gatekeeper of God's truth. I'm going to pass that along regardless, because that's the way it should be done.
Amen. Amen, my brother. All right, switching to a different topic, folks. I know we're like almost out of time, but if we have to go a few minutes over, let's just do this. What did we say at the beginning of the show? It's being reported that federal agents with Immigration and Customs Enforcement found themselves under attack yet again in Minneapolis, making the second shooting incident in just a week. Tonight, just a little while we're on air, an ICE officer shot a suspect in the leg.